It is Tuesday, May 24th.
Did you just look at your phone to see what day it was?
I did.
I think you did.
We are locked in. Remember, that's what we're calling this.
Locked in with Martin and Dan. But not to interrupt, since we're 10 seconds in. When the Blues beat the Wild, I did some one-on-one interviews, which we hadn't done in like 2 years. And I said something about Thursday night versus, I said, felt like a Friday night. And Bennington said, well, what day is it? And like, he literally didn't know.
He didn't know.
And then I said something to Perron, and he goes, well, is it Friday or Saturday? And I said, no, it's Thursday. Like, they literally, in that playoff mode, you forget what day it is. And with your world, I'm being serious, traveling like that, I could see where another game tonight, another game tomorrow, another game tonight. What day is it? I could see that.
I have woken at times and been awoken. Is that right? Been awakened? Awoken?
This is not sponsored by Vianney or CBC.
No, thank God.
I think you have awoken, like you woke up, right?
All right, so I woke up. And there's been times that I didn't know, I forgot what city I was in, so I had to check. And today, I did not realize, as I did look to see, it is May 24th and it is a Tuesday. I didn't realize it was a Tuesday. I was kind of leaning towards Wednesday, but that would have been Wednesdays with Walton. Shameless plug here on Scoops with Danny Mac. So I didn't know. I'm sorry. I mean, I just didn't know.
Now that we've established what day it is, this is good. It's been a while, Dan. You're busy. I was actually in Denver for a week.
I'm a little disappointed in you. I'll be honest.
Okay.
Get
in line.
Hey, I travel with the equipment ready to podcast any place that I'm at. And all you need to do is get on your phone. And I take care of everything. I edit it. I post
it.
Lauren gets the pictures. We have a nice system to get it out to the listeners, and you've ghosted me.
No, I got to go back now to the text. I think we talked about doing one. I forget. Give me the old Wayne Hagen. He would be walking by, and he would put like the fake, you know, using his hand and fingers as if it were a phone up
the
to
the pinky and the index.
Yeah, and he put it up to his ear and his mouth.
I'm on
the phone. Call me.
Give me a call.
He would say,
"There's a high fly ball."
I'm like, "Hey, Wayne, how you doing? You need to call me." And I would say, "I'm going to call you."
Well,
call me. Dan, call me.
Sorry
I didn't call you.
That's okay. I do like how we started this podcast with really, I wanted to get into some things. I'm now sidetracked because within 10 seconds, you told me I didn't know what day it was. And now I've lost my train of thought.
I've heard broadcasters show up at games and say, "Who's playing?" Now that would be really bad.
I've heard that. Matter of fact, I've worked with some that say that.
At least Dan knows not only what day it is, more importantly, he knows who they're playing.
The Blue Jays tonight.
The Blue Jays are in town. That's right.
A
rare visit by Toronto. A rare visit by Baltimore. That's my way of not looking up when they were here last. I'll just say a rare visit.
So Baltimore, we have not done a podcast since maybe, it's been about two or three weeks, I guess. Baltimore had not been to Busch Stadium 2. So they had not been in St. Louis since 2003, and when we did that game, it was that series, I was doing games on Channel 11 as well, and we did, I think, the first inning in black and white on that Channel 11 game, and we did the open, and I had suspenders and a fedora that said press on it. That's how we did the open, so we tried to make it like old school, and then...
Because of the Browns lineage?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And I thought maybe Rich Gould just tripped over the cables, and it turned out black and white on TV.
No, sir. Okay. No. Rich was awesome to work with, by the way.
Love Rich.
I do,
love
too.
Rich. He still texts me every Sunday, and it's him holding a cocktail saying, "Hey, buddy, you going to work today?" Because he retired in October.
So that was the last time they were in. And this is going to be interesting, by the way, for Major League Baseball next year. Every team is going to face each other. Now, when you think about doing that and the complications of when you only visit a city one time a year and you have inclement weather. So, for instance, if you're an American League team and you're going to Denver to face the Rockies, you could get snow like they had 2 days ago. You could get rainouts in springtime in the Midwest. And so
say that again.
So you're going to
face. Did I miss this memo?
Every team. You're going to face every team.
So now, the Cardinals will play the Yankees, the Orioles, the
correct.
Blue Jays.
So it's not necessarily are you going to have home and homes.
Right, but you'll play them at least one series.
Correct.
Could
That's
be
my
a two game, could be a three game.
Right.
So they're going to face every American League team next year.
That's right. So,
I didn't realize
but
that.
Think about the complications, though, of trying to get that in if you have bad weather, especially early in a season. Like in the Midwest, as much as it rains here, and if you don't have a dome, you don't have a roof. That's going to be something to watch next year. And I think we've gotten a little taste this year of what it might be next year, which I've never been a part of any game that I can recall in which the Cardinals or a team that we visited said, we're going to move up the start time of this game to get it in because we understand that, you know, bad weather is coming in. So we did that with Kansas City to get the series in here, and then we did it in Kansas City. I've never – do you remember any time like
that? I don't remember that. Your games would get called off in the morning. They would, you know, hours ahead of time. But you're right, that didn't seem to be a thing, and yet it was a great idea. And the one that was here, I feel like as soon as it ended, it started raining. And I was like, wow, they got that one right.
Literally the final out, it started to pour, so we got it in time. But I think that's what they're going to have to do next year, is that if you know that bad weather's coming in – and if you're not playing within your division or in the National League, if you're the Cardinals, that, and even if it's outside of your division, for sure, if that team's only coming through one time, you're going to have to get those games in, because then you don't have, especially in the second half, do you have off days that match up? What other makeups do you have? So it can really complicate things going forward next year. But I do love the idea of playing, if you're going to do interleague play, you might as well do everybody. You might as well make this a level playing field, and to an extent, it's not quite level, but as much as you can. And I also like the idea that you're not facing the Brewers 19 times and the Pirates and the Reds. I just think it makes it more interesting.
Much. Yeah, and I think I want more division games. Like the Blues barely played the Blackhawks, barely played Colorado. In the NHL, I'd like to see a little more division games, and in baseball, I'd like to see less. As much fun as it is beating Pittsburgh over and over again, I wouldn't mind seeing a Toronto or a Baltimore, who I couldn't name four guys on the team till they came to town.
Let me throw this at you, and I'd be curious when we put this on Twitter and Facebook if fans have a reaction to this. But during the pandemic, I said, you know, we were talking about these losses of revenue for all sports, but I was thinking baseball specifically, and I thought, man, one of the ways that you could immediately get money flush to owners, I mean immediately, is to expand. So your expansion fee, let's say, for argument's sake, is $1 billion. So you split it up 30 ways, $1 billion, that's a lot of money. Now, the players would love it because it's, you know, you got
more 20, jobs.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And you're also creating more jobs in the minor leagues, too. So think about, you know, how it trickles down into that. So my thinking is, and I wonder if we're going to get to this point, but 32 teams, four divisions, and either you realign geographically or you realign monetarily, you know, with the teams, the high market teams, and how you figure that up, I don't know. And it's not fair to say, well, I need to spend a lot of money to compete in my division. I get that. But I think it'd be good, though, if you had, like, St. Louis would face the Cubs, Milwaukee, the White Sox, Kansas City, Minnesota, maybe Texas and Houston, and so you stay in the Midwest kind of thing. You know, that's something to keep in mind. And where they expand, I don't know. I mean, Nashville's
been knocking on the door, right?
That seems to be where a lot of the momentum is going, just because in society, that city is just exploding. I think Vegas has got to be there. I would think Montreal. I would think Portland. I would think down in Mexico. You know, those are all options that make sense for
Montreal.
Major League
always
Baseball
gets mentioned, but so what didn't work the last time? Was it the stadium got old? Because I love the Expos, I love their players, and I love that. I miss having a team in Montreal. You probably did games in Montreal.
I did.
Great city.
I love it.
Fun to go there, I'm sure.
In the summer, especially.
I wonder what would work this time that didn't work last time. Just the stadium? I don't know. I know it was built for the Olympics, and maybe it wasn't perfect for that.
I think you'd have to have Canadian ownership, so a vested interest. Where more, you know, you'd like to think that most owners, if they're from a place, they'd keep a team there. Isn't necessarily
right,
the case.
Right, that's not always true, Dan.
So, as we all know here. But I think you'd have to have Canadian
somebody
ownership.
Somebody would put a lot of jack into that Montreal
that's
market.
Right.
That's what we're looking for.
And then you'd have to have a new stadium. And I do think Warren Cromartie, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He has been huge in the push to keep the Expos at least front and center of coming back. I mean, he's been amazing for that city to try to bring baseball back. And what killed them was the strike of 94. I think they would have won the World Series. And if you go back, what made it painful for them was that Marquise Grissom in 95, who was on that team, wins it with the Braves in 95. He was with the team in 94. They had to trade him. John Wetland is closing games out for the Yankees in 96. Pedro Martinez is no longer there. Larry Walker leaves. Delino DeShields was another great player on that team. I mean, they were loaded, man, with great players. And I think it just turned the fan base off to where if they stay, they win, maybe they get a new stadium, but certainly your excitement for baseball is at an all-time high because you win north of the border. But then the other thing is that when they dismantled it, then people said, I'm out. And so as long as you have local ownership in a new stadium, which can be done, I think it could thrive there. I really do.
Why do I remember Warren Cromartie wearing number 49? I need to look it up because I think he was. I don't know why I remember that. Let me ask Dan a question here.
Yeah, while I'm looking it up.
Paul Goldschmidt, walk-off homer, great call, so much fun. Are you saying in your head ahead of time?
No.
Grand slamma? Like, I like have grand slamma? Like, do you have it in your mental Rolodex? Like, if he goes deep, oh, baby, I'm rolling out a grand slamma.
No, not at all. Okay. It's kind of an ode to Jack Buck because Jack had one of the great calls with that, and I'm not trying to copy Jack, but it's kind of my way of, you know, paying homage to Jack in a way. By the way, Warren Cromartie, Expos, played for the Giants over in Japan and finished up in 91 with the Royals. And I'm trying to find his number.
Like, hit an image on there.
Yeah.
Google image. I swear he was 49, but maybe.
We'll find out. But no, I don't script calls, ever.
Well, I knew that. I just wondered in the back of your head because it's a rare chance for a grand slamma.
Well, when he's at 1-2, I think was the count, I thought, the last thing on my mind is that he's going to hit a grand slam. I did think he'd put the ball in play, and if anything, I thought he might take it to right field. Right now he's the MVP of the National League. At least he's in the conversation.
Insanely hot.
He is, and he's hitting it everywhere, and he's hitting everything hard. And yesterday was a tough day.
And he's such a hot dog, talking about himself.
Shows off. Just,
yeah.
The way that they, you know, he's inviting the Cardinals to put the home run chain around him. Could you ever imagine seeing Goldie get into one of those, the rollers where they put all the towels
yeah,
in, like
carts,
the Red Sox
yeah.
are doing? The carts, thank you. Could you see Goldie doing that or Arenado?
No.
And I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
Right,
I just can't
just
ever see it.
Not his personality at all. Like, I feel bad for the cat, Jim Hayes, when you have to interview a guy like Paul Goldschmidt who goes 4-for-5 with like 8 RBIs. You got to talk to him. He just does not want to talk about himself. He's a team guy. It's genuine. But it's like, hey, you had 8 RBIs. We got to grab you real quick.
Yes.
It's like, what's he going to say? He's like, hey, it was a tough game, great win. And
yeah.
You know, that's just who he is, which I appreciate. All right. Since Dan is here, well, he would be here. This is the
scoops. By the way, did you watch any of the game, or were you at the Scott Trade?
No, I was at the studio last night, so
Enterprise.
I was watching. Yeah, and
our
guy Palante struggled. The crowd was pretty good late, right?
Oh, man.
For a Monday, what day is it? Monday in May. Pretty good late, too.
He
had the Albert at bat, so people were probably hanging around to see him. But that was a good crowd for a Monday night.
They were really engaged. I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if it was just one of those nights where people were excited that the team was back. But, man, they were into it. It was cool. I mean, really from the opening pitch. And then the game was really fun because Michaelis was so good and Barrios was pretty good. So you had a tight game. It was a fun game. But man, they were into it last night.
And they got an interesting roster right now with this Brendan Donovan. Every time we show a highlight, I say, where'd he come from? Like, I don't remember ever saying his name.
Isn't it, though, typical Cardinals to find guys like this?
Yeah. And they come up, and all of a sudden, he's a keeper.
And he hardly played in the minors, too.
Well, that's I don't remember ever hearing his name, ever.
Yeah.
I'm sure baseball nerds like you probably did. But
I did.
Okay.
But
no offense. But I...
Yeah. I get it.
I had not heard it. And then this Juan Yepes, I'm like, was that the guy in the Matt Adams trade? And then he comes up. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a nice story. I'm like, wait a minute, he's been here a month now.
Yeah.
He can actually hit. It's a different looking roster for sure right now, but it's working. But I wanted to ask you, and that's
okay.
Why we're at the Scoops headquarters.
All right.
On Sunday. Now, the game was on MySpace or TikTok. I keep forgetting. I mean, and part of this, I joke about it on Twitter. My mom is texting me. Now, where do I find it? I'm like, oh, for God. This is
so does my mom.
Like, I'm going to have to go over there and do this.
Yeah.
Like, I can barely find it. Now, how am I going to explain it over the phone?
The experts at Rottler stay ahead of the pests before they arrive. The team at Rottler Pest Solutions are the local experts in all things pest and lawn related. We know what issues are most likely to plague your home or business and have created custom services to address those needs. Check out their services. Find the right solution for your pest control needs at Rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Rottler.com. It's Rottler Pest Control.
Because we care. Your trusted source for basement repair. It's Stratum.
Stratum, the area's trusted leader for basement and foundation repair. Stratum is there before, during, and after the job to make sure it's always done right. That's why they only have 5-star reviews. Something is broken in your house, Stratum is there to fix it. It's Stratum.
Because we care. Your trusted source for basement repair. It's Stratum.
Do your phone lines at the sports office at Channel 2 light up like, you know, they use you as a reference to try to, you know, hey, where's the game?
Yeah, not as much as we used to. And some of it is in the sports office. We rarely answer the phone.
Yeah, it's I get ringing. It.
When I was an intern years ago in Milwaukee, the NBC station, the sports guy was kind of like one of the wacky guys back in the day, and he would do bits and shtick or whatever.
Was his name Zip?
No, it was Kevin Hunt.
Okay.
And he was really big in Milwaukee. I think he went to Phoenix after that. But I was an intern, and he comes back, after gets off the set, comes back to the sports office, and the phone's ringing. And I go as an intern. I start to, he goes, no, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to grab the phone. He goes, no. He goes, never answer the phone right after you get off the set.
Because you probably piss somebody
off.
Yeah,
he goes, nobody's calling in to say they're happy or they thought that was funny. He goes, nobody's, he says, so don't ever answer the phone, right? He goes, now wait about 10 minutes, then it's probably okay. And I, we maybe kind of gotten that way in our sports. It rarely rings back there. But if it does, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you want to talk to me about? But so it was Peacock Sunday. But you were on the radio, and I heard just a little bit, but it was John Rooney and Ricky Horton and yourself sitting in the studio. And I was like, the old days, Mike and Jack, right? They would just switch. You do some radio, and here comes Jay Randolph and his Sansibel pants, and then he'd go over to TV, and then he'd come.
Yeah.
That's a bygone era. I don't know, market is doing that anymore, are they?
There's a couple. The Giants, I believe, for sure.
Because John Miller does radio and TV.
Yeah, okay. And so does Dave Fleming, who's a really good broadcaster. And they've got,
Dwayne Kuiper, Mike Kruko. Those guys have been there forever.
Yep, so they'll do it. And they're interchangeable parts. Like, they'll do some pregame on radio, and then they might switch innings in the middle of the game. I think the White Sox do a little bit of that, too. Jason Benetti is the primary TV guy. Lynn Casper, the former Cubs guy, is now their main radio guy. But if
Marquette's own.
That's right. But if Benetti goes and does something else, like Lynn will go over there and do some TV. So,
but I just think it reminded me of my Cardinal youth.
It was great.
Yeah, because
I loved it.
You would, and it was kind of fun, like on the TV said, hey, here comes Shannon. He's going to do TV. Yeah. Oh, yep. Jack Buck's on. You know, yep. He's the radio guy. And it's probably difficult, you know, you got a producer in TV and you've done some graphics and you've already burned through that one thing you talked about in the third inning. Now it's the sixth. We're not going back to
but
that.
But it makes it fresh, though, to an extent.
No, and it's certainly doable. We're not splitting the atom here, right? It's a baseball game.
Right.
Well, maybe there's more of that. I don't know. I'm not getting into your business, but I think it was fun.
I did, too.
And if Rooney, he's done a lot of TV.
Oh,
he does the Missouri Valley basketball currently, but he's done a lot of different things. It might be kind of fun to see people slide over. And then Jimmy could be, what? I have to walk down there? Forget it.
We'll keep Jimmy on TV. We'll keep him on
Jimmy,
TV.
Jimmy, you want to go over to the radio? No. Do I have to?
Do I have to get up?
Love you, Jimmy, as you listen to this podcast.
Of course he's listening.
Yes.
John Rooney has been amazing to me and Klabes and Ricky. And so in Kansas City, John pulled me aside and said, hey, you know, one of the things I want to do this year is have you come over and do postseason innings. And he said, it's a shame that you're on every game and the postseason gets here. And obviously for fans that don't know, the networks then take the postseason games and then all of a sudden you're out and our fans can't hear you. And he said, that's not right. We need to correct that. And he said, how would you like to come over, do a couple of innings, hang out with us? Maybe we'll do some pregame roundtables, things of that nature in postseason play. And I was floored. I was blown away, and I was certainly very, very appreciative. And as I said, that trio has been remarkable to me, and I'm very thankful that they asked me and honored that they asked me. So
that's actually a little nugget scoop for, like, Dan Caesar or whatever, that, you know, hopefully there is Cardinal postseason.
Yeah.
And that you'll get to do it. I know Chris Kerber's done that with John Kelly.
Yeah.
During some of the Blues. And it is sort of a travesty for an announcer who's there every single day. And then the playoffs start. And I'm like, Dan, get out of my way. I got to do a live shot for Fox 2. And Dan's like, sorry, used to call games around here.
Yeah.
It's a big playoff game. Move over.
Well, you're persona non grata.
Right.
And then he came up to me. We're on the bus going from the city in New York out to Queens, and it's a long bus ride. And he said, hey, he goes, I see that you're not working Sunday, right? And I said, yeah. This is on the recent road trip. He said, hey, why don't you come on over and join us all game? I said, really? And he goes, oh, yeah, it'd be fun. Let's do it. And we had a blast. I mean, first of all, the game was, they scored 18 runs, so it wasn't like a 1-1, you know, tight-knit game. But we just had a lot of fun and told stories, and
lot of people were listening because they couldn't figure out how to find it on TV, myself included.
Well, we had great response, and the Cardinals had great response to it, and I think moving forward we may do some more of that stuff too.
Very fun.
Yeah.
I love that whole idea.
I do too.
All right, and I know Dan likes talking about Enos. So, all right,
you're going to tell me about
this. Okay, so I'm in Denver for the Blues and Avalanche, and the first night, which would have been last Tuesday, it's game one, and before I can even bring up Stan Kroenke's name, Vic Faust, our news guy, who is a former sports guy, he goes, have we seen Stan yet? He brings it up, ha-ha. So then we're back and forth. I said, no, not looking forward to seeing Enos, I'll park in his spot or whatever, you know, something TV joke stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm done with the live shot, and my photographer is from Denver. And he said, so you guys all hate Kroenke in St. Louis? I said, yeah, are you new? Yeah.
Kidding me?
New. And he was a photographer. I don't know if he was a huge sports fan. But he said, oh, that's interesting. He said, they hate him around here. And I said, oh, really? Why? And he said, well, it's the TV deal.
Can't see the games.
So then I went back to my hotel and looked. Yep. Altitude Sports, which Kroenke owns, has the Lanch and the Nuggets. Hasn't been on Comcast, which is the equivalent of Charter, Spectrum, whatever. You know, tons of people have that as their cable provider in Denver. It's been 3 years that they have not been able to settle this. In fact, the Colorado legislature got involved trying to settle this issue. And I said to the guy, well, it could be blame the cable. Yeah, blame Colorado. He said, no. He said, most people blame him. Wow, interesting. Now we're upstairs in the press box, which is on the corner of the arena, kind of a crappy press box. Doesn't matter. But somebody with the Blues said, well, they moved it because over there – Stan wanted to create this huge suite for him and his friends, and they kind of blasted out, which he's the owner. He has the right to do it. But they said he rarely shows up. So you look over, there's this giant empty suite. And then a guy sitting there listening said, oh, he goes, yeah. And they had to build a new elevator just for him. And I go, this is the guy who, remember, famously in the Vikings-Rams game in 2015, Doug Vaughn couldn't go to the bathroom in the press box as they had it closed off with his security guards so he could use the bathroom by himself. Remember that.
That is unreal.
And so they said he had to build his own elevator just so he wouldn't be around, you know, others. And I'm like, that's who he is. And then now there's stories coming out. Nuggets fans are furious because they feel their team sort of on the cusp. Got, you know, arguably the best player or, you know, the MVP every year. But they said they're not looking to expand or spend more. There's articles in Denver, so they're ticked off. And I thought, this is unbelievable. I'm sure he's loved in L.A. He brought the team back. They won the Super Bowl. They got a great stadium. But you're despised, maybe mostly in London with the Arsenal fans.
For sure.
Your persona non grata in your home state. And now in Denver, where you have two different franchises, apparently your name is mud there as well. It's unbelievable.
It is. And it sounds so homerish, but man, it does make you appreciate Mr. DeWitt and his family and what they've done for the Cardinals and really for downtown St. Louis. And Stillman, what he's done, and the renovations to Enterprise Center. I mean, and he's fully invested in winning in the team. I mean, I love the shots. I love seeing during the hockey game, if he's there, which he's there almost every night. I can't think of a time that I've been watching a game on television and haven't seen a shot with Tom Stillman. But they score, and he's like the guy that's in the upper deck going crazy with his hands up and pumping his fist and I love that, and I know fans appreciate that because they think, well, that's one of our own. He feels the passion like I do. I mean, Mr. DeWitt, the other day, we were talking about the Browns, so they had four of the Bat Boys that are still with us get together for the Browns game. Now, there's four living members of the Browns still alive, players.
The Orioles in town.
Yeah, and he's mixed in with them, hanging out with them. Mm. In the seats, just, you know, taking it all in. Well, you would never see that with Stan.
Right, and is he a businessman? Has he made a ton of money? Absolutely. But there's no denying that Bill DeWitt loves baseball.
Loves it.
Like, do you think Stan cares about hockey? I'm going to guess no. I don't know that for a fact. Does he love the NFL? I don't know. Maybe. He clearly is all about money. And I think as a fan, you're frustrated. You're like, just be passionate about not the bottom line, but about the one loss column.
So
that's what you want him to be passionate about.
I'll give you an example. Like Mr. DeWitt, every day on his desk and to his computer, and they print it out, or he reads it off his computer, whatever, it doesn't matter. But he looks at all the stats of the minor leagues from the night before, from low A all the way through triple A, and is following the kids that are coming up through the minor league system. So he knows when you have Brendan Donovan or Juan Yepes or Matthew Liberatore or some of these other kids that have been good in the minor league. He knows about them. He can tell you all about them, what they do, what their strengths are, where they're from, who they are. And I have heard from others that Stan, one of the things that they do, and I don't know if this is true, I've heard it, but they literally give him basically like a spreadsheet daily on his teams and all his entities, and he just looks at the bottom line, you know, sees how
profit
much money
margin,
he's made.
Every month, each entity.
Have you heard that too?
I have, yeah. That it's basically, how's the winery doing?
Yeah.
How's the real estate doing? Did the Lance make money last month? And it's like, some people grab the sports section, right? The red section in USA Today, he grabs the green section. I'm sure he has a great life. Obviously, he's got a ton of money. But, I mean, what's your enjoyment level if so many people just hate you?
I asked Ben Fred, I said, if you had a chance to do a sit-down with Stan, what would you – and you had one question. I said, what would you ask him? And he said, I'd ask him what happened, meaning – why are you like this? Why right. would you be willing to tear up a city like he did and disparage it on the way out? Why are you doing what you're doing with the things happening in London? You know, the various business deals that have nothing to do with sports, but you see what he's done to communities and family. Why?
Right.
Like, what happened to you? What makes you want to do this as a human being to others?
Yeah, what makes you happy? That's what I would ask.
Well, that's the other one, yeah.
I mean, what makes you happy? Okay, so you buy that land in Texas and somebody kills themselves and families are saying we have nowhere to go. Does that bother you at all?
Right.
Are you even affected by that? That's the thing that's – I mean, we could do a deep dive.
I'd like to ask his son that too. I'd say to Josh, how do you feel when you hear these things said about you and your family and specifically your dad?
Guilt by association now.
Yes.
And do you feel, hey, that's him, that's not me? Okay, if that's true, how are you ever going to craft your own identity?
Exactly.
Carrying that last name, which in Denver is not the greatest name to have, apparently, talking to people. Clearly not in London. We know it's not in St. Louis.
Or Columbia, Missouri, yeah. Where you were raised.
Right.
And family is still
now,
there.
Now, Dan, we're ending this show, and I know what day it is. It's Tuesday, May 24th.
Yeah.
I was trying to find a picture for you that I was not disinterested in on my phone. I was trying to find a photo because I tweeted this out. And it was the story in Denver, how they're mad at the Nuggets ownership and the plan moving forward. And it's Josh Kroenke with Stan. And then there's a guy standing there. And I swear to you, it looks like Bob Dylan with a with a scarf and a holster.
I saw it.
I tweeted this. And then
yes.
As soon as I sent it out, I said, oh, my God, I better make sure it's not a woman. Because I said, look like Bob Dylan.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I better make sure it's not his sister, cousin,
right.
Wife, anything. And we a guy at work looked it up, and he said, do you know who that is? Our producer, John Hancock, on Sunday said, I'm going to go look it up. Because I said, dear God, I hope I didn't offend somebody by making fun
sure.
of this person. And he said, I wish I got to find this picture for you. But he said, it's Jimmy Goldstein, legendary NBA super fan. And I said, what? And he said, do a deep dive on it. The guy goes to all these games. He looks like Bob Dylan. Wearing a holster.
So is he from Denver?
I think he's from L.A.
Oh, and he loves the NBA,
yeah,
and he goes all
over
the place.
He goes to all these games. But as soon as I sent, I go, oh, my God, what if it's his ailing brother or ailing
right.
sister?
Right.
I'm now, instead of him being the jerk, now I'm the jerk. But apparently it's fine. It's just Jimmy Goldstein,
okay.
NBA superfan, who looks a hell of a lot like an 80-year-old Bob Dylan.
It's unbelievable.
Hanging with Enos.
By the way, do you think,
I wish I could find this.
Do you think the Blues bring it back home? Or you think it's over?
Confidence is low.
Yeah.
Clearly, just the way they played. Disappointing. And this is another topic, and maybe it's another show. And I tweeted this last night, just most impactful St. Louis sports injuries. I think the Trent Green.
I saw that.
Trent Green's number one because Warner happened. I mean, Kurt Warner ends up being a Hall of Famer.
I wanted to tweet at you. I had one.
Oh.
Well, go ahead. You put three out, but I had
one. I just
one.
Threw it out there. And then Vince Coleman in the tarp.
I had Grant
especially
Fuhrer.
Is weird. Grant Fuhrer is for sure.
Nick Kiprios ran him over.
Yep. And then you can get it. Roland being injured in 02. I think it was 02 where he got injured. A lot of people brought up
that
Jack.
Was Alex Cintron, I think, that
yep.
hit. Yep.
Or no, there was Hesop Troy. There was two Rollins, weren't there? Didn't Hesop
two
Troy?
So
or was Cintron, one was playoffs and one was regular season? Maybe?
Yeah. So Cintron was running from I think second to third and collided with Roland, and then Roland was running offensively up the first baseline and collided with Hesop Troy.
That's right. And then people pointed out Jack Clark in 87.
Yeah.
Could have used him in that series of Twins, but I was just thinking of, and Bennington, I think based on how he was playing, they had a chance to win this series.
I agree.
And the second he goes down.
What's happened with Husso? Why isn't he playing well?
You just wonder, though, if a guy gets pulled, loses his job, if all of a sudden you just kind of, not that you veg out, but all of a sudden like, okay, well, Benner's.
You lose your edge.
Sure, and Benner's the guy.
Right.
And good for him. I'm happy for him. He's playing great. Hey, maybe we'll win another cup. And it's like, well, no, now you're the guy.
Do you think, I was thinking about this the other day, do you think if you're Doug Armstrong and the front office of the Blues, by seeing what Bennington has done, you feel a lot more relaxed going into this offseason trying to figure out what you're going to do with your goalie situation? Because Husso really was the number one for a while, and he's a free agent, correct? And Bennington has got a lot of money left on that contract, and yet you gave him that deal, and all of a sudden you're watching him regular season at times, you're like, this is not the guy we signed. But now I think you feel a lot better about where he's at, maybe his state of mind, and physically, hopefully he's going to be fine. I would assume he would be. But mentally, going into next season, I would assume that puts some fears at ease.
Yeah, even before this series with the Lance started, I did a podcast on the Scoops website with Jeremy Rutherford. And I said, how big was this Bennington reemergence? You know, the three games against Minnesota, he's the reason they won that series. And now all of a sudden, you look at him, he didn't even start the playoffs. And now
right.
It's like, hey, he's back. In terms of the franchise moving forward, and then he did two great games in Colorado, so it's five in a row. Absolutely. I think now they can look everybody in the eye and say, Benner's our guy, he's under contract, but we loved what Husso did. Husso might be costing himself a little money right now, too, where people are everybody's watching now.
Sure.
It's not just one of 30 games on TV. It's the game everybody's watching that night, and he's had a great season. He's still sixth in the NHL in save percentage, so he had a great year.
Right.
But I think the Blues, for sure, probably always were going to have to stick with Bennington, but it was going to be a little awkward. Is it just because of the contract? And now they can say, listen, he's back. We feel good about it. He struggled a little here and there, but all of a sudden now that's the guy that we want to see moving
right.
forward. So I think they're comfortable saying that, where maybe 3 weeks ago they would have said it but not felt real comfortable.
By the way, I've become an Oscar Sundquist fan after seeing him in the stands.
Yes.
How cool was that
it
last
was very
night?
Cool. Former player on the Red Wings, who cares? And then the other day he was tweeting, fun day at Bark in the Park.
Yeah.
And he had some Urban Chestnut Brewery items, like very like Mr. St. Louis, you know, like running for mayor. I loved it.
I think that when it's all said and done, when we're 10 years down the road, these players will be so beloved from this era.
Forever.
Yeah, Blues hockey. I mean, it's really cool. I mean, and the majority of these guys, it seems like they stay in town anyway when they're done playing. You know, Walt Pronger, all these great players, McInnes, Wayne Gretzky, who was here for 2 months, is spending a lot of time here because of family connections. But, I mean, there's so many. Brown, Chaser, Twist. I mean, all
and
these
even
guys.
Even slightly random, Andy McDonald lives here and finished his great Anaheim player, finished his career, still lives here. There's a lot of those. These guys are legends forever. It's so hard to win the cup. We know that. The Blues proved that over 50 years. It's really hard. Look at Colorado, all those great players. And they haven't been out of the second round in 20 years.
Has it been 20?
Since they've been to a conference final. If they win this series, it'll be the first time in 20 years they've made it to the conference final.
That's hard to believe.
That is hard to believe.
I mean, when you had those great teams they had with Sakic.
And that's about the last time. They won the cup in what?
Tangay.
Maybe? And then the next year.
Patrick
they got
Wah.
The, yeah.
One of the coolest moments I've seen in winning
well,
the
don't
cup.
Don't forget Chris Drury, Dan.
Good call.
Candidly.
Seeing Ray Bourque win the cup with them. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was weird, but it was.
Did by the way, in your podcast with Mark Sauer, I if I would have known you were doing that, I would have loved to have heard his honest, because he was very honest in your podcast, which I found. If you have a chance, go on the website, search it, and it's a great visit with Mark Sauer, the former Blues, Cardinals president, Pirates, about the business side of sports, and you did a great job with that. But I would have loved to have known how close the Blues were to getting Ray Bourque. And my understanding was a deal was in place and a deal was there to be had, and it fell through at the last moment. But if they get Ray Bourque, maybe they win the cup earlier.
Well, let's do it. You and I should have Mark Sauer on and do a deep dive, just some blues
I
stuff.
Love it. And because you could have had, I think at that time, it would have been Pronger, McInnes, and Bork. It's one of those three is going to be on the ice for all 60 minutes. Could you imagine that?
Wow. Remember, they almost signed Eric Lindros, too.
Yeah.
He was, in fact, Frank Cusumano, he beat me that day. There's no doubt about it. We get this tip. Eric Lindros, he had all the concussion issues. He's at Barnes Jewish getting checked out. And so we see this limo. We get over there. And this photographer that day, Bryce Thomas, he's great. We're going through all these doors. I said, it says restricted. I was a lot younger. And he's like, don't matter. And we're just like flying through.
It.
Cameras rolling. And then we come around this one corner, and I see this limo door closing. And Frank is there. And he said, ooh, that's disappointing, isn't it? Or something.
Did he really?
Yes, because I don't think he talked, but they got the winning shot of him. He did the exam. Larry Plough brought him in, but then they didn't sign him, and I don't know.
Was it because of the concussions?
Guessing, I forget the end result, but other than he didn't come here, I guess it was concussion related.
Yeah.
We could do a deep dive on what day it is. We could do a deep dive on Mark Sauer. You name it. We can do it, but we're locked in.
Well, we are locked in. That's the name of our podcast. I told you Mark Sauer was my stats guy one night down in Mizzou.
I love that.
He's a beauty, man.
So a longtime sports CEO, but if you start talking sports around him, we went to dinner with Jim Hayes and my photographer at spring training 10 years ago or whatever, and he's – stop talking about sports. You guys are so damn boring. Okay, but what's your name? Dave, best movie you've seen in the last month? He starts like quizzing the room. And I go, what's wrong with you?
He was a eccentric dude.
That's a good word for it.
He had me, when I was working for, he loved me. I was such a young guy and, bright-eyed, bushy, you know what I mean? And just innocent at that time. And he loved the fact that I was on the Blues. Because I cared so much, and I had so much passion for it.
A lot of work in there. That's why I would see you at all the skates.
Every one of them. Didn't miss a skate. And did all the games, either radio or TV. I would be on all those, too, doing just the sidelines and stuff and intermissions. And he called me over to his house one day. Just one random day, I get a call from Mark Sauer, and I go over to his house, and he just wanted to show me all the pictures on his wall. He had all these pictures of, like, former athletes or people in his life that were non-sports related and just started telling me stories about it. And his whole point was basically you need to become more than just sports, to your point of, like, asking about your best movie or what was your favorite subject in school. He's a fascinating character in St. Louis sports. He really is.
And even though – and he, if you get him on the – Dan, is this going to be one of those where I'm the hatchet man that ruined the Blue – like, he knows – exactly what his reputation is. But he will say, pretty sure I was there, Dan, when we hired Joel Quenneville. Pretty good coach, right? And
wasn't bad, was he?
Pretty sure we won a lot of – did we win a lot of games? Do you want to go ahead and look it up?
Yeah. President's Trophy, remember that?
There was a good run. And he said, I did what I was told to do by the Lorries advisors.
Yeah.
To gut the roster, trim the payroll. He said, I did what I was told to do.
Those teams back then were fun, too, because they had spent a lot of money to keep Al, to keep Prongs, Demetra. And at that time, there was no cap. So they were just spending money wildly to win.
They also travel the best. The hockey playoffs were the best because there's always a day off in between. Yep. You're always staying at the Fairmont in San Jose or, not anymore, but like they stay at the fanciest hotels. We're at like half hour away sleeping on a friend's couch now. But those trips were great. Larry Plough would take us out to dinner the night before the playoffs began.
Hey, gang.
Hey, okay. And I'd say, Larry, about that contract with Brett. Oh, okay. Pass the potatoes. Like you couldn't get anything out of Larry. Dan, this has been fun. I got to go. I'm taking my wife to get her hair done.
Awesome.
You believe that?
How's the family
doing?
We're
locked in. Family's good.
How's the wife doing?
Wife is good.
Good.
Kids are winding down the school year. That's huge.
What do you got, summer plans?
We got a trip to Wisconsin, a friend's cabin we go to all the time.
Nice.
Kids get on the water. Brother-in-law is like a part owner of a boat now, so we're going to do some of these like short trips. Like go
That's
to Red
fun.
Lake for a day.
Yep.
Maybe go to the Ozarks for a couple days, like some stuff around the area.
Good. And you'll be busy.
Well, I'll be talking to you between now and the summer, Dan.
Yeah, again, I have the equipment that is allowing us to record wherever you may be.
Yes.
Great job, Martin.
This was a great talk.